Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. We are the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires. And I am Fernando Farias, ready to bring you this show in English for August 1st, 2025 on RAE, which airs through the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. You may download our app for mobile devices, Digital RAE, available for both Android and Apple phones. It's free. Today is August the 1st and it's Pachamama Day in South America. Pachamama is Mother Earth, is a very important deity, and many people observe several traditions on August the 1st. And not only people living in the Andes, here in Buenos Aires as well, many people observe, for example, the tradition of drinking a concoction of ruda, which is a plant with a very unsavory smell, mixed with ginebra, with gin, is a very strong liquor. And this is supposed to bring good luck. But long story short, it's a Pachamama August 1st tradition that many people observe. It seems to, or it is supposed to purify you at the beginning of this very important month. So we'll have a documentary and obviously we'll be playing some Andean music, which is the music representing the area where Pachamama is worshipped. Let's start with this track by Los Kiarcas, Toyos. Happy Pachamama Day. Personally love Andean music with its traditional instruments and sounds. Sikuri, for example, is one. It's a type of flute, just like the quena, made with canes. And also the string instrument that is so distinctive in Andean music is called a charango, even though you've got some more so to speak, Western instruments such as Spanish guitars, because obviously we have to take into consideration the mix of cultures with the arrival of Spanish conquest. And over the years, this evolved into a mixed culture and race, also a mestizo culture. But the traditional instruments of Andean music are those that I described at the beginning. The word Pachamama comes from Quechua and Aymara. Pacha means world, time, or cosmos. Mama means mother. So Pachamama is Mother Earth, but also Mother Time and Mother Universe. She's not just soil and mountains. She's everything that gives life, shelters it, and nourishes it. For the peoples of the Andes, from Ecuador and Peru to Bolivia and northern Argentina, Pachamama is sacred. Long before the arrival of Europeans, she was honored through rituals, offerings, and a lifestyle in harmony with nature. And despite centuries of change, that connection is still alive today. On the first day of August, it is customary to feed the earth, to feed Pachamama. This ancient ritual is called La Corpachada. The Corpachada. Don't try to translate that. Just take it in its original language. Corpachada is the Pachamama ritual of feeding the earth. And it's an act of reciprocity. People dig a small hole in the ground, which symbolizes the mouth of the earth, and offer her what she's given them, such as coca leaves, bread, wine, grains like maize and quinoa, cheese, candies, sometimes even cigarettes or drops of alcohol like caña or chicha. In fact, if you don't have a spade and you can't dig a hole in the ground, some people just drop a few drops of liquor, whatever they're drinking to honor Pachamama. And then there is something very important in this ceremony, which is the pause, to take time to stop and to remember that we are not above the earth. We are part of her. And while this may sound symbolic, it's also practical. August in the Southern Hemisphere is a cold, dry month. Traditionally, it was considered a dangerous time when illness was more common and crops were at risk. So the offerings also ask, let us get through the winter. Let us sow again. Let life go on. Today, Pachamama is both tradition and a growing movement. In Bolivia, she has her own legal status, recognized in the country's constitution. In northern Argentina, from Salta to Jujuy, entire communities take part in public offerings, festivals, and ceremonies that blend indigenous and Catholic symbols. But even outside the Andes, this day is gaining meaning. It invites us all, regardless of background or belief, to ask, how do we treat the earth that feeds us? Do we give back or do we only take? Some families still wake up early on August 1st and drink a little caña with ruda, a bitter herbal mix believed to protect against evil and illness. Others just take a moment to walk barefoot on the soil to say thank you or to plant something. Whatever the form, it's about reconnecting. So, well, folks, now we're going to share with you a documentary on Pachamama that was produced by Channel The Documentary Story, that true story documentary. This episode is called The Gift of Pachamama. It's available on YouTube. We're going to share it to enlighten you more on the tradition of Pachamama, which is observed today. Today is Pachamama Day. Actually, it kicks off Pachamama Month. The whole month of August is considered to be dedicated to this deity, to this goddess of the earth, of time, of universe. Pachamama and would be Mother Earth, and then you also have Father, Son, Inti. Let us enjoy now this this documentary with you for the rest of the program.
The Altiplano, or High Plateau, lies at the foot of the central Andes mountain range in Peru, some 4,000 meters above sea level. For thousands of years, the people here have shown the remarkable human ability of adapting to changing environments, reaping nutritionally complete sustenance from the most infertile fields, and making the most of their decidedly sparse natural resources. In the middle of this seemingly endless and arid expanse is Lake Titicaca, where, according to legend, the sun slips beneath the waves each day at dusk. The first men were born here, and their descendants, those of black blood, live on islands made of reeds. Several powerful civilizations built magical cities here, one of which is Machu Picchu, the Inca's magnificent secret treasure trove, ensconced in high mountain valleys and undiscovered for generations. Spirituality is the key to how the people of the Altiplano understand the world. Life is possible solely through the veneration of the sun and Mother Earth. In Cusco, thousands of people congregate each year to celebrate Corpus Christi. In Hoyada de Sinacara, pilgrims risk their lives on the icy crags to praise God. the Christian God, or also the gods of the people who had inhabited these lands for countless generations. Long before the Spanish conquistadors arrived to baptize into a new world, an old world as ancient and wise as humanity itself. The high plateau, at the very heart of the Andes, borders on Argentina, Chile, Bolivia, and Peru. According to legend, humanity first appeared on the banks of Lake Titicaca many thousands of years ago. Those first men worshipped the gods who had given them life: Inti, the god of the sun, and La Pachamama, Mother Earth. Numerous discoveries throughout the region have shed much light on the very close and extremely intense relationships those ancient peoples shared with their gods. Still today, we can retrace the steps of those ancient religions through the legends and folklore kept alive by the many indigenous communities of the Altiplano. There are also important archaeological sites, such as Tiahuanaco, the imperial capital of the megalithic civilization that dominated this region over 3,500 years ago. The architects of this imperial city possessed an excellent sense of urban planning know-how. They created ornate temples and remarkable works of art. Among them, this portico, the Gate of the Sun, sculpted from a single block of stone weighing over 10 tons. Since then, the Altiplano has witnessed the birth, dominion, and disappearance of numerous civilizations. The last was the Incan Empire, whose most valuable legacy is Machu Picchu, undeniably one of the most spectacular and fascinating human creations in the world. For centuries, Machu Picchu was a lost city, a legend where the treasures of an empire were supposedly hidden. And when explorers finally discovered it, they found neither gold nor silver. What they did find, however, was an invaluable architectonic jewel, one duly recognized as a World Heritage Site by UNESCO in the late 1990s. Sun, Acayahuaya, heir to the Incan traditions, invokes Inti, the sun god. This is an ancient ritual based on a legend, according to which the sun god falls in love with the lake and decides to rest in the embrace of its watery depths. The city of La Paz is over 3,600 meters above sea level. It is the biggest city on the Altiplano. La Paz was founded by the Spanish conquistadors, but most of today's residents are of solidly indigenous origin. The white man tried to impose his religion, which gave rise to a fusion of Christian and pagan elements that is currently deeply rooted throughout the Altiplano. From the most crowded residential areas in the big cities to the remotest island villages of Lake Titicaca. The island of Taquile represents the last living vestige of the Incan Empire. It is the only place in Titicaca where Quechua, the imperial language of the Incans, is still spoken, and the only place in the world where certain norms and customs from that era still govern daily life. is divided into four districts, called suyus, each governed by a hilikata. In their attempt to eradicate pre-Columbian beliefs, the Spanish conquistadors employed many cunning tricks. One of them was to celebrate with great religious solemnity Christian feasts on the days the pagans considered sacred in honor of their own deities. Over time, the inhabitants of this island, for example, began to identify with the sacred symbols of both beliefs, leading to a kind of conversion, in a formal sense at least, from paganism to the religion of the Spaniards brought from Europe. Each year, coinciding with the Christian feast of the Pentecost, Taquile celebrates its own special feast day in honor of the potato seed. This is a ritual of Incan origin, held in Chuñopampa Square, the corners of which have altars venerating Jesus Christ, the Virgin Mary, and the Christian saints. The island is divided into two teams, north versus south, and no error goes unnoticed in their annual dance competition. The team committing the least mistakes wins, and it is assumed that their part of the island will enjoy the year's best potato harvest. As the hours pass, the ritual transforms into a communal fest. The coca leaves and traditional liquors naturally take a certain effect on the dancers. As night falls, the competition comes to an end, but the celebration continues. According to the Southern Hemisphere's calendar, winter and its dark skies will soon muscle in on the sun's territory. The Taquileños dance so their Star King won't forget to return in the spring. Taquile's most important industry is textiles. Its fabrics are considered the finest in all Peru, and the entire population strives to maintain the region's legendary traditions. They say that in ancient times, artisans here wove magical cloaks, enabling people to fly. It seems improbable these garments might promise that much, but truly exquisite items have been discovered, some adorned with images of winged men, in the funerary bundles from the Paracas era. The cloth makers of Taquile are considered the best in the world. This is one of the few places on Earth where the creation of fabrics is considered the exclusive domain of men. The obligation of every man here is to weave a cap whose colors indicate his marital status, and a belt with a calendar-like depiction of the most important dates in his life. But this is actually the final step in a long preparatory process. After learning about plant fibers, how to make dyes from natural products, and mastering the island's unique ornamental designs. This is an invaluable tradition, one of humanity's finest achievements, as recognized by UNESCO's World Heritage Committee. The fame of these products has attracted more and more tourists, which has created a challenge of another kind. The increased demand has made it impossible to produce in the traditional way all the merchandise the market wants. So many retailers have begun selling industrial-made imitations that ultimately degrade the reputation of the authentic and justly famous Taquile fabrics. Lake Titicaca, at over 9,000 square kilometers in area, is the high plateau's largest body of fresh water. It is the wellspring of all the life in the region, and understandably, a key protagonist in the legends explaining the origins of life in the Andes. These flexible, water-resistant bulrushes play a fundamental role in the life of the descendants of the mythological beings said to have reigned over the ancient world here. In the Peruvian part of Titicaca, there are numerous man-made islands fashioned from bulrush reeds, inhabited today by descendants of the Uros, the legendary tribe of black-blooded people who, according to age-old local lore, could never drown in the lake, which explains why they lived on the water. Nowadays, those superpowers don't hold much sway in the communities here. For these people's very existence is a precarious enterprise, day in and day out. Despite this, every morning the Uros go out on the lake in their reed boats, gather in circles, and cast their nets, most often just barely managing to provide the basic necessities for their families. Despite this, every morning the Uros go out on the lake in their reed boats, gather in circles, and cast their nets, most often just barely managing to provide the basic necessities for their families. Throughout the 20th century, the number of residents on these islands has steadily decreased. Currently, there are no more than 3,000 people living on the few islands that still exist. If things don't change, this culture will likely disappear, representing the extinguishing of a traditional lifestyle tracing its roots back many thousands of years, practically to the onset of human history in South America. Economic difficulties forced the younger generations of Uros, those of the black blood, to abandon their islands for the coastal cities of Puno or Juli, where they can find buyers for their craft work or work at cattle fairs or in the fields. Ceremonies cannot go on without certain other elements either, such as alcohol, wine, beer, or corn. At the end of the ceremony, everyone eats and drinks. And as is understandable, the first drink is always offered to Pachamama. Every 2 years, on the Calacala Plains, they hold the Chaku, where they corral and shear the thousands of vicuñas that live in huge wild herds up in the highlands. The entire production of vicuña wool was the property of the Incan Empire, to the point where laws condemned any common person wearing garments fashioned from this valuable fabric to death. Today, the value of the wool of these small cousins of the camel is still very high, which has led to the Peruvian government establishing exhaustive controls over the production process in order to avoid poaching. On the day of Chaku, practically everyone in the region goes out in search of vicuña. Slowly but surely, the animals are driven into corrals, where they will be shorn of their precious wool. In the mid 20th century, this traditional feast was threatened with extinction because of the sharp decrease in the number of wild vicuña herds throughout the region. Fortunately, the National Council of South American Camels instituted effective measures, including the placing of armed guards in vicuña breeding areas. The results were spectacular. Over the ensuing 50 years, the herds increased from only 5,000 to over 140,000. The villages reap large profits from preserving the vicuña herds in their municipalities, while the wool they gather earns them even more income, allowing for an important textile industry to flourish. Before shearing the first animal, the wedding of the vicuña ceremony must be celebrated, involving the selection of the strongest and fittest animals. The priest's altar, covered with liquor bottles and coca leaves, becomes the nuptial bed on which the beasts will consummate their marriage, with the goal of assuring the fecundity of the females. After the wedding, a small incision is made in the animal's ears to extract a drop of blood, which will be offered to Pachamama so that she might protect the vicuña and allow the herds to grow ever more numerous year after year. Unlike vicuñas, llamas are domesticated animals. They are the largest cousins of the camel in the Andes. They are extremely resistant to cold and thirst, and their blood is especially adapted for living at high altitudes. The origin of this species is none too clear. Llamas do not exist in the wild, which is why it is believed that the inhabitants of the high plateau managed to domesticate some species of the guanaco family. The legends of the Andes offer a much simpler explanation. Llamas are the descendants of the two sons of Manco Capac, the founder of the Incan Empire, who were condemned to death but transformed into llamas by Viracocha in order to avoid punishment. The high plateau covers an immense area stretching between Peru, Bolivia, Chile, and Argentina. It is an enormous plain uniting the two parallel mountain chains that make up the central Andes. The scenery is monotonous. A great plain is flanked by impressive snow-covered peaks, the traditional home of the gods. The paths here are covered by countless piles of stones called huacas. Each stone is the offering of a traveler who has deposited it as a part of a vital gesture to please the deities. Once upon a time, many years ago, men dared to scale the heights to where the gods reside. The road was filled with obstacles, and many died in the attempt. From then on, the gods have permitted visits, but they demand as payment the sacrifice of a human life. That's how the old tradition of climbing up to the Sinacara High Basin started. It's a 12-kilometer trek over the Ocognate Glacier. It begins in the church of the village of Mahuayani, where the different brotherhood groups gather before setting out over the frozen route. This pilgrimage was originally meant as a kind of farewell celebration to the sun during the winter solstice. But mysteriously, the figure of Jesus Christ, known here as the Lord of Coyoriti, appeared to one of the townsmen, which, much to the relief of the colonial authorities, rapidly transformed the pagan celebration into a Christian one. Bit by bit, the entire route up to the Sinacata High Basin became adorned with Catholic symbols. Crosses were placed all along the route next to the traditional huacas, while at the end of the trek, a chapel was built. With a festive atmosphere, the different brotherhoods pass by the church in Mawayani and begin the pilgrimage, which is extremely dangerous. Every year, at least one fatal accident must be mourned, which, according to tradition, is the human sacrifice demanded by the gods. Whatever the case may be, this is undoubtedly a feast with tremendously deep popular roots, bringing together thousands of people each year, and one at which it is impossible to distinguish the traditional pre-Columbian elements from those introduced by the European Catholic culture. The city of Cusco, whose name means the navel of the world, was the capital of the Incan Empire. According to legend, it was founded by the first men in an enclave shown to them by the god Inti. During Incan times, Cusco was given over to the cult of the sun. Thousands of worshippers would gather in its main square to celebrate the winter solstice. Centuries later, on the day of Corpus Christi, Cusco is once again the center of the world.
Es una lucha entre el amor fiel de Dios, empeñado en acercarse a su pueblo.
Just a few years after the arrival of the Spanish, the colonial authorities were overwhelmed by the fervor with which the Andean people participated at Christian celebrations.
Mediante el misterio de la encarnación del Verbo.
It had to be the Inca Garcilaso, a chronicler of mixed blood, who would explain that the Corpus coincided with the Andean feast days celebrated by the cult of the sun. It is difficult to determine whether the Spanish orchestrated that coincidence of sacred dates or whether the natives decided to protect their beliefs under the guise of Christianity in order to save their lives. The Incas considered their leaders gods. The emperors were inaccessible beings, always surrounded by large entourages, dressed in ornate vestments and covered in gems and gold. It was complicated for them to substitute their living deities for the images recently come from Europe. The sacred Catholic figures were instantly associated with Inti, Pachamama, and the Apus, the spirits that lived in the mountains. Whatever actually led to this situation, one thing is true. It was simply compulsory to exalt those symbols, and any contradiction of their nature could have very serious consequences. Over the years, a mixed tradition blending the original pagan symbols and those from Catholicism transformed the day of Corpus Christi in Cusco into a unique celebration in all the world. The maximum splendor of Cusco and the Incan Empire had been reached some 100 years before the Spanish arrived. The fortress of Sacsayhuaman is one of the most noble vestiges of that ancient empire. Inside, next to the residence of the emperor, sat the Temple of the Sun, military buildings, arsenals, food warehouses, and a remarkable water supply system. Its dimensions and the quality of its construction deeply impressed the Spanish conquistadors, but they considered it a dangerous reminder of past Incan power and destroyed it. That is why today we can only marvel at these few still impressive walls. The arrival of the Spanish brought with it the rebuilding of Cusco, where new churches and palaces would occupy the center of the city. The cultural wealth of the city has made Cusco Peru's main tourist destination, providing a key source of income for its residents. Hotels, travel agencies, and of course, the traditional craftwork of the indigenous population. Narrow, winding streets and arcades are filled each day with rudimentary stalls and tables offering wool caps, ponchos, and ceramics for just a few dollars. But there are numerous local markets located beyond the typical tourist routes, where it is still possible to get a closer idea of the daily lives of the ancient culture of these modern-day people. It is still easy to find the foods held sacred across the high plateau, potatoes and corn, one of the fundamental pillars of development of all Andean civilizations. The cultivation of corn, also known as choclo or maize, began some 3,000 years ago, but its exact origin is a mystery, linking it with so many other legends of the origin of life in the Andes Mountains. Corn does not grow in the wild, having been literally created to satisfy the nutritional needs of human beings. Who created it, and when and how, are questions without answers, fitting perfectly into this world where the gods are behind everything. Made from this sacred foodstuff is chicha, a drink that is always present in all the social and religious acts of the Andean peoples. In every single town, there is a chicheria, or chicha distillery, such as this one, a humble courtyard where this homemade elixir is prepared. In the times of the Incan Empire, corn was a matter of state. After the soldiers came the mitimais, the colonists who took over the enterprise of cultivating it. The people of the Spanish conquest could grow tubers and garden produce, but the production of corn was exclusively reserved for the Incas and belonged to the emperor.
The traditional elaboration of chicha is a long process, beginning with the moistening of the corn and then the puffing up of the grain as the cobs dry out. There are two types of chicha, tuctui yamor, reserved for the most solemn of ceremonies on the agricultural calendar, and jora, the most commonly consumed. In both cases, it is necessary to mill the grain in another long process into a kind of paste that will also grow much in body over many hours as it soaks in water. Each family has a secret recipe of its own, featuring different amounts of corn and how long it is cooked, which varies the texture and taste of the chicha. Finally, the drink is filtered and allowed to ferment, so it can attain its perfect alcoholic content. Chicha is drunk daily here, at any time, and in great quantities. It is a drink enjoyed by men and women alike, both old and young. Every chicha distillery will have a small counter and a few tables, so folks can come in and have a drink or two. All Andean communities have an essential of the gods. The owners of the animals, seated on each side of the priest, fashion thread from red wool. The Atomisayo recites a liturgy, ingests some coca leaves, and drinks a taste of liquor after offering a few drops to Pachamama. In this simple ceremony, the red threads are pinned on the ears of one male and one female alpaca. This is not to identify them, but to give them a small gift in thanks for all they will provide to the family. At 4,500 meters high, there are no roads here, but they wouldn't be of much help anyway. The amount of oxygen is so low up here that any type of combustion is difficult at best, with the internal type powering cars, trucks, or motorcycles equally doomed with respect to the laws of physics. Horses remain the best form of transport here. Indian horses are small in size but strong and have great endurance. They are quite different from those that wreaked havoc on the Incan armies when the Spanish conquerors arrived. The low amount of oxygen, the aridity of the land, and the harsh climate have made agriculture here nothing less than a miracle. But in these climes, miracles are the order of the day and form part of the popular culture. Pachamama, in consolation for the hard life of her children, decided to give them the potato so they could feed themselves. The potato has been grown around Lake Titicaca for over 7,000 years. Its importance for life in the Andes was so great that time was measured as a function of how long it took to cook one. Peruvian farmers know all too well that each farm has its own characteristics when it comes to type of soil, the lay of the land, and the dominant winds, all of which determines which type of potato thrives best in each kind of field. When the harvest is ready, sacks of potatoes are packed on the backs of llamas. This is an image that has been repeated from time immemorial, year after year. On the backs of llamas, the potatoes were transported to merchant ships that would take them back to the old continent. In Europe, they were principally used for decoration at first. But after the 30 Years' War, when the population of Europe was saved from starvation through their cultivation, the potato gained the importance it has in modern times. Today it is raised in over 130 countries. It is one of the most consumed food products in the world, together with corn. Its importance has been recognized by the United Nations, which designated 2008 as the year of the potato. Likewise, it was the first product chosen by NASA to be grown in space. On the ranch, the whole family takes part in selecting the potatoes, separated according to size. The largest ones will be taken to market, while the smallest ones will be used to make flour through the oldest freeze-drying process known to man. To make flour, the potatoes are left outside for 3 winter nights. The tubers freeze and become dehydrated, allowing them to be stored for consumption throughout the year. At nightfall, inside the family abode, the Atomisayo responds to the doubts concerning the immediate future posed to him by means of an oracle called Cock's Fortune. Long before cocaine became a social blight in the West, coca leaves played a central role in the everyday lifestyle of the Andean communities. It is considered a gift from the gods due to its curative properties and effectiveness against heights. Also, its consumption allows the local medicine men to see the future. In any home in the high plateau, there is never the lack of a bed or food for a visiting traveler. Hospitality is an obligation and respected as law. The diet of these farmers is quite poor. It consists almost exclusively of potatoes and garden produce. Alpaca meat or mutton is a luxury consumed only on special occasions. Dinner serves to bring the entire family together. Parents and children sit around the simple table, a poignant symbol of the meager lifestyle of the highlands of Peru and Bolivia. The morning after, there is a blessing of the potatoes. The Atomisayo extracts from within his pouch all the elements needed for the ceremony, and he begins a series of chants. The power of these priests is usually imbued with plants, other common substances, or animal bones from the valleys. The medicine men from the jungles, however, employ many other objects from the high plateau. The blessing concludes with the spraying of liquor to the four cardinal points of the globe and toasting with Pachamama, one's eyes fixed always on the mountains tracing the high horizon. When the Atomisayo finishes the blessing, he invites the family to gather with him in prayer. Everyone here partakes of coca leaves and alcoholic spirits in the belief that Pachamama will heed their prayers. The harvest marks the year's end and also the beginning of the coming year's ever new natural cycle. This is how it has been year after year for countless generations. Ever since man first appeared on the high plateau and began to seek the answers that would allow him to understand the magnificent world around him. A world in which magic plays a central role in everyday life, where the simple sound of a flute seems to enable a human soul to reach no less than the inaccessible heights of the Andes, where the condor, the messenger of the gods, transports the dreams of the Incas to the great beyond.
We come to the end of today's edition of RAE in English, hosted by yours truly, Fernando Farias. Today we devoted the show to Pachamama, Mother Earth, a deity of the Andes, on her day, August the 1st, which is a very important day for many believers in her. Thank you very much for listening, folks. Have an excellent weekend. Let's join on Monday for a new show of RAE in English. Ciao. Hasta la próxima.